Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. You know, as we looked at several, you know, between Enoch and Abel, we really didn't have a whole lot of scripture to go off of. The stories of their life, even though as great as they were relatively short. When we get to Noah, you know, we all of a sudden go from six verses to three or four chapters. But they all have the same thing in common. They all have faith. You know, that is why we're looking at them. And we see in verse 7, we see that in this story with Noah, God is actually communicating with Noah that's requiring an action. With Enoch and Abel, we did not see that. So with Noah, we get some more things to look at. We get to see, well, let's see how Noah reacted and responded to God. And we're told that Noah was warned of the things to come, and Noah did respond. So let's look at his life. Let's look at his life and how he responded, and let's also see what life was like during Noah's time. I'll be looking at Genesis 6, verses 5 through 7, just to take a look at what the world was like while Noah was here. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all of the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air. For I am grieved that I have made man, I have made them. What a description of the state of the earth is in. Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. Things had been so bad that God was grieved that he even created humankind. And worst of all, God's heart was filled with pain. What a description. A description of the people that were on this earth and a description of how bad that hurt our Creator. I would have to imagine that living at that time would have been very difficult for someone who feared and revered God. You know, we see in 2 Peter 2:5 that God brought the flood on its ungodly people but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness. We're told that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So not only did Noah, you know, fear and revere God, but he also spoke about God. Can you imagine in a time where people had every inclination to do evil all the time to be preaching God? So, let's look at what happened to Noah. Genesis 6, 8 through 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah, a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. We see that Noah walked with God. Last week I talked about walking with God, you know, that Enoch walked with God. I would imagine that this is the same thing here, that Noah had an intimate relationship with God. One where Noah was seeking to be pleasing and sought to please God. And we see that Noah was a righteous man, and God found favor with him. Similar to that of Abel, you know, Noah desired to be, you know, to prioritize God above all things. You know, think about it. In a time where such things weren't done, you know, the people were so corrupt. Even speaking of the one true God would have brought ridicule, harassment most likely. And there must have been plenty of pressure to join the rest of the culture. We've told our young teens, and I know growing up, I've heard about peer pressure. You know, that there's pressure from our peers to do something that maybe we aren't supposed to do or don't want to do. But can you imagine in this world at this time where the pressure was not just from your peers, the pressure was from your culture, from the towns or cities that you were near, as from nations. The world was all pressuring to do evil. Right? Every inclination of the thoughts of people's heart was on evil all of the time. Pressure, I would say that Noah endured significant pressure. He probably found scorn from his fellow neighbors. He probably had, you know, there was probably doubt around him all the time. Truth would have been rejected. No matter what he would have said, it would have been truth, and that would have been rejected. Talking of the one true God would probably have aroused anger in those who heard about it. And I would have to imagine that there were people that just said, you know, that's that Noah guy building some building. He's just a crazy old man. Just stay away from him. Now, that's not in the Bible, but I would have to imagine, you know, it could happen. But anyways, Noah knew pressure. And we have pressures all around us here today, too. Do we not? It wasn't terribly long ago that I was in high school. That teenagers, you know, what teenagers are facing today in high school is significantly different from what teenagers are facing today. And I'm not really that terribly far along. We can only imagine that those of you in here that may be older than 60, maybe the pressures of high school were even more different than in my day. Just the other day, I was talking with Mick, and he was saying something about maybe 20 years ago, the problems that high schools faced, you know, the problems that they had in the school, running in the hallways, kids chewing gum, was even wearing hats maybe? I don't remember what the other third one was. But the thing is, what are schools facing today for problems? Drugs, guns, weapons, sex, yeah, sexually explicit material. Oh, if we couldn't go back to the days of running in the hallway and chewing gum. But the pressures have changed. There's more pressure. Pressure of sin has increased significantly just in my time. You know, I can't even go on the internet and search for wholesome material without having explicit ads or pop-ups or even sites that claim to be something until you go there and realize they were not telling you what exactly they were. Just the internet alone, there's so many ways to try and guide you and direct you into some sinful activity. Television programming. I like the Three Stooges. I like Andy Griffith's show. Hogan's Heroes. You know, these are all shows from a long time ago where the actors actually had to have some comedic talent. They had to have talent for comedy. What do we see on our programming today? What's humorous today? It's the rude, crude, and vulgar dialogue. And that's what's trying to be said is humor and comedy. pressures are changing. Violence, we see violence. You watch the news, and what are we inundated with right away? Maybe I haven't watched the news terribly too much here, but I know in the town I lived with, the first 10 minutes was all about the violence that's going around, the murders, the acts of violence. And then we also see, mall shootings and school shootings. We see that conflicts are now, instead of being resolved through some sort of peaceful means, it's just easier to just take it out and be violent about it in order to resolve it. I'm just saying these are some generalizations. But can you see that there is pressure? We have it today. It will only be by our faith and an active pursuit of God and the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit will you be able to persevere beyond the pressures of today. Hebrews 11:7 says that because of Noah's faith, he was warned of the things to come, not yet seen. Because Noah was in tune with God, he not only heard and recognized God's voice, he believed the warning of the judgment to come, even though it was something unheard of and maybe a little difficult to believe. Right? Just imagine. You're just going along trying to serve God, and he says, I'm going to wipe out everyone around you with a flood. I want you to build a massive boat. That would be hard to take. And Hebrews 11:1 talks about faith as being certain of what we do not see. Well, is that not what Noah had to do? He was certain that God was God, and he was certain that who God was, and he knew God's voice. This is what he said. So Noah had the faith. Genesis 6:13 through 14. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, making room in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Then God goes into detail about how he built how to build the ark. But the best part of all comes in verse 22. And even though most people would have likely struggled with what was just revealed to them, Noah did just as God commanded him. It was faith in God that led Noah to obedience. How did he obey? If you look in the NIV version, Noah obeyed in holy fear. If you have the King James version, he was moved with fear. The New English translation says, in reverence he obeyed. Noah revered and respected God, fearing his sovereign authority, and also understanding the severity of God's anger towards this corrupt and violent world. Sometimes God asks us to do things as well. God is still active with us today. If you are not in tune with God, you will not hear nor identify his voice. If you're not in tune with who he is or where he's at, who he is. If you are in tune and hear his voice, you recognize his voice. If you are able to do that, should you not obey out of respect and reverence for God as he has instructed? I think, what if Noah would have would have said, God, I'll obey everything you've told me, you know, how to build the ark. I'll obey everything. Maybe if he doesn't obey one thing, what would happen? So let's pretend I'm Noah. God, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe you're going to destroy this world because of all these terrible people, and I know you want me to build this massive thing. And it'll take me a long time to do it, but I'll obey. And I'll get everything ready for the animals. I just don't like pitch. You know, it stinks, it's sticky. I'll do everything you say, but I'm not gonna do the pitch. I'm not gonna coat the ark with a pitch. Can you imagine? You know, the rain start coming down and Noah's all excited that he obeyed, and then little Japheth comes up and says, the ark is leaking. Well, Japheth, I'm sure, was a lot older. But can you imagine what I'm trying to get as, you know, it's easy to obey and do what you're instructed to do, but sometimes many of us just don't want to do one or two things. I think many of us are like that today. We'll go to great lengths to obey God in most areas, forgetting that we should have a respect or a holy fear, a reverence for who He is. Obedience to God is a work of faith for sure. It is. And I do have an example. I'll be extremely transparent this morning. You know, there was a time, not too long ago, that God had asked me to do something. And I said no. You know, I told God, you know what? You know, I know you called me to the ministry. I know you've asked me to move to Springfield. I'll do all that. I'll go to school for 4 years. I'll leave a job that I enjoyed, a career that I enjoyed. I'll do all of that. I'm just not going to do this. It's just a little thing. You know, God is fortunately a patient God. A few months later, God, you know what, I'm not going to do that. We move, start school, studying to be a minister, learning about theology, learning about God. Again, he asked me to do it. God, I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And after a while, I think my ark started to leak. I was willing to obey in almost all that I know that he asked me to do at that time. But is this one thing? And fortunately, I finally came to the realization that I was in trouble. And that I was starting to sink. And so I did obey. Now, it didn't feel very good. And I'm sorry, I'm not telling you exactly what it is. It's very personal. But that's kind of how things can be for many of us. We're willing to do things to a certain extent, but we may hold something back. So my rhetorical question, I don't want to see hands of this. I have a question, though. Can you identify with that struggle of obedience? Can you identify with that? A struggle to do something you know is right, a struggle with something God has instructed you to do. You know, the possibilities are endless. You know, just to name a couple of them, failing to forgive in a certain area. Yes, God, I will serve you in church. I will be a Sunday school teacher. I will do whatever you ask me to do. But you know what, God, this person hurt me. I'm not going to forgive them. Another example is just, you know, it could be forgiveness, but also bitterness. Something that you're just going to hold on to. Something that happened that you're just going to hold on to that bitterness. Struggling to give up a habit or an addiction. Yes, God, I will do everything you ask me to do, but you know what? Just give me my few minutes of a fix here and there. How about confessing a sin? God, I'll be a great Christian on the outside. But I will hide this sin that I'm a part of. You know, failing to act, you know, God, you know God has asked you to do something, and you're just saying, God, I'm not worthy. God, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Failing to act can be the same way. You know, the list could literally go on, and I'm sure as I'm giving examples, maybe some of you are thinking of your own examples of some things that maybe you've struggled with to obey in. But you must find that holy fear, that respect or reverence for God's sovereign authority. Not to be afraid of Him, but to be in awe of who He is. And let your faith move you to obedience in all areas of life. All areas of life. My next point, you know, Noah placed his full trust in the gracious promise of God that his own household would be, you know, saved, would be preserved from the threatening flood. Not only did Noah have faith that led to obedience, but he also had faith that God's promise would come to fulfillment. He believed when God said, I will protect you and your family in the ark. Noah believed it. At the end of Hebrews 11:7, Noah became an heir to righteousness because of his faith. I don't know what was going on in Noah's head. I would like to think he was a little kind of human like me, where, you know, there might be a little glimpse of doubt here and there. You know, I can't imagine that as Noah's building this ark over years that he didn't sometimes question, God, did I really hear you right? Am I crazy? You know, certainly there was plenty of pressure telling him that he was crazy or that he was not doing the right thing. But it was his faith that prevailed. He held tight to the faith that God is who He is and He would do what He said He would do. In the New Testament, we're given a promise too. This is the part I love. This is a promise of righteousness and salvation. It's for you and for me. It's for all of us. And we are told in Romans 10:9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. I know this isn't an amen church, but can we just try to do an amen here? Oh, yes. Oh. I love that promise. My faith says that promise will be fulfilled. that when I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, that I will be saved too. And when my family says it and believes it, I have faith that my family will be saved as well. And I want the same for the family here at Christ Community Church. Oh, let's do another amen. Okay, thank you. Genesis, as I move on, Genesis 8, 18 through 21. So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." When Noah came out of the ark, he immediately gave thanks. He came out and gave thanks to the Lord. You know, we don't practice the sacrificial offerings, but we can learn from Noah. You know, when was the last time you thought about or actually gave thanks to God for his provision or his patience and enduring love for us? Or when's the last time you gave thanks for his desire that he wants to be in a relationship with you? When is the last time you thanked him for his promise to not destroy the earth again? I would rather not die in a flood. When's the last time you thanked him for sending us Jesus so that we might be saved? These are all questions just to think about when we talk about Noah giving thanks. You need to thank God for his provision, for his love, and for our salvation through Jesus Christ. We need to. We will thank him when the time comes that we meet him, yes, for sure. But we can also thank him now. And my final point, we have looked at Abel and Enoch and we do not find any fault with them. You know, those two characters, we didn't really see much in their life to show that they had any faults. But I will remind you that they were just as fallen as you and I. So far, Noah has appeared to be just as sinless as the other two, but I want to make it very clear that these are remarkable men of God, to be sure. But sinless they were not. We live in a corrupt world, and they were just as corrupt as you and I. Some of you may have been thinking, as I've been going through this series on persevering faith and looking at these characters, you may be thinking that how can a broken and sinful person like me even think of resembling these three men that have been discussed? And first of all, we will never be without sin until the day we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. And you will resemble the three men I've talked about when you imitate their faith. Faith is the beginning of a life of a believer. Yes, we already know that. Faith is also the beginning of a transformed life. Faith leads to a relationship and intimacy with God. I know that I've been repeating some of these things over and over and over, but I want to make it so it's like the Old Testament, New Testament writings. If I repeat it, it'll be remembered. Faith leads to obedience. Faith leads to perseverance. Faith leads to a desire to be pleasing to God and following the example of Jesus Christ. And it is by faith that we are received by God as heirs in righteousness and salvation. And for the record, Noah was not perfect. He was not perfect. Genesis 9:20 through 23. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backwards and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way so they would not see their father's nakedness. Noah allowed himself to get drunk, and then also, because of that, his son sinned as well. I'm not going to get into the specifics on that, but you can see that Noah was not perfect. And this is after he's been saved from the flood. This is after everything that God had done for him and had talked to him about, Noah still had an issue. And he caused some sin in his son's life as well because of that. We are not perfect. We all need to focus on our faith and focus on where our faith will lead us in our walk with God. So we live in a corrupt world. We live in a place that has sin. We know that we are not without sin, so we will all struggle with it. But that's my point. These guys, these great men of faith that I've been talking about, they've been living in a corrupt world too, and they've had sin issues as well. But let's imitate their faith. Let's pray. Okay. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, for your plan of salvation for each and every one on this corrupt earth. Even though we are not perfect and that we struggle with sin, you have given us a hope and a future salvation based on faith and not our sinlessness, as we will always fall short. Thank you for giving us the story of Noah so that we may learn from his faith, so we might endure in our journey of persevering faith. Help us to walk with you in an intimate relationship. Help us to be tuned in to you, God, that we might learn your voice. We may learn how to communicate better with you, Lord. Lord, in your precious and holy name, amen.